located a job you enjoy, where your efforts can get some recognition. There are over 10,000 radio stations in the country, and Columbia School of Broadcasting's been training professional broadcasters for over 21 years. You? Here? Mm-hmm, it's very possible. Call Columbia for a free brochure. Find out. You never know what you can do until you try.
That's right. Absolutely. Sherry, imagine that. You? Here? You remember that when you made that phone call and you got into the exciting world of radio?
I do. I do remember the phone call that got me into radio. I do. I remember it very well.
Well, personally, the John Curley and Sherry Elliker.
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
Yeah, you got it.
Jacob will tell you, I have a hard, really hard time with last names. It has to do with this dyslexia stuff because I'm phonically challenged. So every time I would ever say anybody's last name, Tom would always say, close enough, or he would then correct it. So I never, and I often would, right before we have somebody on the air, I would turn to Jacob and go, what's this guy's last name? What's his last name? Jacob, what's this guy's last name? Jacob's like, what? You don't know his last name?
Well, you need Jack Stein around, who uses everybody's last name constantly.
Over and over.
John Curley, John Curley, John Curley.
All right. Let's see. I did not get a chance to watch the Alec Baldwin interview, but apparently he did not pull the trigger on that Colt 45. Colt 45, classic-looking kind of gun you'd expect like a cowboy to have. So sometimes they've got pearl handles, sometimes they've got wooden handle. It's just, if you imagine like an old cowboy gun, got a long barrel, you pull the hammer back, that's the thing that hits the end of the, it's the end of the bullet there. You have two ways to fire it. You can pull the hammer back. Really, the guys, the gunfighters would pull the gun out and then they go bang, 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 bang with their, they'd be hitting the hammer over right. and over again with their hand. Or you can just simply pull the trigger, which brings the hammer back, release the hammer and let the bullet go. So in this interview with George Stephanopoulos, who we find out later on that is a friend of Alec Baldwin, he says he did not pull the trigger on the gun on the set of Russ that killed the cinematographer and injured the director.
So I take the gun and I start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I said, do you see that? She goes, well, just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that. And I cock the gun. I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off. I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
At the moment. The decisive
that was the moment the gun went off, yeah. That was the moment the gun went off.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger.
Stop. If you pull the hammer back on the gun, and if it's an old gun or whatever, and you let go of the hammer, if it doesn't click and hold in place, then it doesn't lock in place, you pull it back, you let it go, the thing could hit the... hit it and trigger the bullet. Well, so, yeah, you don't need to pull the trigger on the thing.
Why would you cock the gun anyway if you weren't going to pull the trigger? I mean, isn't that the sequence where you cock the gun and then pull the trigger? I mean, if he's just rehearsing...
You can just pull the trigger, which pulls the hammer back and then lets it go. But this, he's pulled it back, and I think he's trying to say to her, the director or cinematographer, can you see at this angle if the hammer is back? Maybe they're trying to get a close-up or something like that. I don't know, but just saying, now he's doing this thing... Well, I didn't pull the trigger. I just pulled the hammer back on the thing. But all right, keep going, Alec. I'm sorry.
I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them. Never. Never. That was the training that I had. You don't point a gun at me and pull the trigger.
Right. The training might have also included you don't pull the hammer back and point it at somebody. How about this? You don't point it at anybody.
Well, but he goes on to say that that's how he was instructed, where he was instructed to put the gun. She was saying, point it at my armpit. And that's what he was doing. I mean, this did not go over well with most people. The fact that he went on an interview in the first place and defended himself and sort of blamed the victim.
Look, it's a tragedy, right? It's a horrible thing. He was given a gun. He had no intention. He wasn't intended to shoot the person. I think he's saying in these interviews, this is a cold gun, which means there's nothing in it. Or a hot gun means there's something in it, most likely not a real live round, but it will make a noise when you go to pull the trigger or pull the hammer back on the thing. So now it seems like he's distancing himself even more because he's got to watch it. I think the first lawsuit has come rolling in on this one. Is that all the sound we have of Alec Baldwin talking to...
No, we've got more.
All right, here we go.
No, No. I feel that there is...
Sorry, this is... He's asked if he's if he feels guilty.
No. No. I feel that there is... I feel that someone is responsible for what happened, and I can't say who that is, but I know it's not me. I mean, I honest to God, if I felt that I was responsible, I might have killed myself if I thought I was responsible. I don't say that lightly.
Okay. The guilty part, you'd have to commit... You could tell he's talked to a lawyer. Do you feel guilty? Mm-hmm. If you say guilty, then you must have committed the crime, or somehow you were responsible for the action. So you say... I guess it's the word guilty, right?
Yeah, but wouldn't you say something... I mean, he didn't say, do you... are you guilty? He said, do you feel guilty? How could you feel anything but guilt, even if it was a complete accident? I mean, if I forget or I don't hold the door for somebody, I feel guilty. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. He took somebody's life. How could he not feel guilty about that? But I guess if you're saying legally, and the legal experts have weighed in on this, saying this interview could come back to haunt him. Everything that he said in this interview can be used against him in a trial. But I think he should have phrased that differently. Like, no, I don't feel responsible, but I certainly feel guilty that someone has died, or something like that.
Mm. Yeah, but you got to watch it. Well, like you say, they start parsing those words, and you got a lot on the line, because I'm sure they have enough insurance, but probably not enough insurance to cover all of this. And they want to go after somebody. They're not going to just, because they could pierce right through how much money he has. It's a low budget film, $6 million from the thing. So then you go, well, you know what? I'm going to go after the LLC, the corporation that you formed to produce this thing. Then I'm going to go after you, Alec Baldwin. Then I'm going to go after anybody else. Those lawyers just start to throw this giant net over anybody that's got any kind of money. And he's starting to look at it like, oh my God, right? Am I vulnerable? Am I going to be exposed financially? And this is going to absolutely ruin him. So he does have to be careful. And it is interesting that he does come out and decides to do the interview. Last, any more sound from Alec before we get to John?
Two more. So he talked a little bit about... you know, what he's experienced since the shooting.
Okay.
I'm not somebody who has a lot of vivid dreams, but I have dreams about this constantly now. I wake up constantly where guns are going off. These images have come into my mind and kept me awake at night, and I haven't slept for weeks, and I've really been struggling physically. I'm exhausted from this, because I got to try to be there for my kids. And my family's all I have. I mean, I honest to God, I couldn't give a of my career anymore.
And then this is him talking about the victim, the Helena.
She was someone who was loved by everyone who worked with and liked by everyone who worked with and admired. Sorry. But admired by everybody who worked with her.
How do you feel about putting music underneath this? Is this supposed to be a news program?
Yeah. I mean, Alec Baldwin is an actor, and I'm not saying that he doesn't have real emotion around this, but Alec Baldwin's also a big bully, and I think it's going to be difficult for a lot of people to feel real sympathy for him, even though they can understand that this was a tragic, horrible thing, and he must feel badly about it. But
so, Sherry, are you saying that there's some acting going on here?
Well, I'm just saying he's an actor, okay? He's an actor. And then George Stephanopoulos, of course, who's his buddy from the Hamptons, came out later and said, you know, I've done 8 million interviews, and this was one of the most intense ones I've ever had in my life, and it was real. And he had, you know, all these, I guess he feels as though this was incredibly raw and difficult. And it probably was, but yeah, I think
I didn't see it. Now, when they, does the camera pan over and it's George playing the piano?
it's
looking
George
back over his shoulder.
No, it's George cradling Alec and stroking his hair and saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Wow. So you see that he feels bad, but you think he's jacking it up for this?
Yes, A little bit. I think he's an intense guy.
Could you stop interrupting him? He has one more thing to say.
All right, one more thing to say. Go ahead.
That was the last one. We're all done.
Sherry, can you just keep talking? Alec has nothing more to say.
We could transition. We could hear from John Schneider.
I know. We're going to go to John Schneider, who I haven't heard from him from Dukes of Hazzard. By the way, 1977, 1978, most popular television show in America, Dukes of Hazzard. John Schneider jumps over the hood of the car to say this about Alec Baldwin.
Kids are in a playground, someone's pushing someone on a swing, and someone says, oh no, that's enough. And the bully pushes even further, and the child falls off the swing and breaks their neck. What is the bully going to say? I didn't push her. I didn't push her. I didn't push her. First they're going to say, I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. Then if that doesn't work, which, by the way, it still doesn't work because you are supposed to check the weapon, you fellow. But then you have the audacity to say, I didn't pull the trigger.
Okay. Why is John Schneider?
John Schneider.
Coming actually, out of a Denny's to do this.
He actually named this video on YouTube called Seriously, Alec? I mean, and what bathroom fan was running in the video? I mean, that was...
I think that's out of courtesy to the next person coming in.
And he looks... Oh, man. Man, he looks like he got beat up by John Schneider. So, yeah, I think he wanted to get his 2 cents in there.
What's worse, that or someone breastfeeding a hairless cat? Let's use that as the standard now for behavior that is frowned upon.
I'm going with the cat.
Okay, fine. Jacob?
Wait, we're comparing it to what did
everything
Schneider
will
do
now
exactly?
be judged by the standard of the hairless cat breastfeeding on a plane.
Yeah, no, this isn't as bad. All he did was do, I mean, going live on YouTube is embarrassing, I think, but okay. No, not as bad as the hairless cat.
Being breastfed on a plane. That is the new standard by all other behavior will be judged by.
And let me guess, you think his is worse, don't you? Of course you do. No, I don't.
I don't. First of all, I don't. Yes, Alec Baldwin is an actor, but I do believe that Alec Baldwin is now just fighting for his life as far as finances are concerned. The reason you mentioned I haven't slept, I haven't been able to do this, that I now become the victim. Some people are saying, Alec Baldwin, why are you the victim in this whole thing? Why are you changing around and moving stuff back over into your position as if somehow you have suffered because of all of this, right?
Exactly. And that's very fair, I think. I mean, if you're going to do this interview and you're doing it for PR purposes, because why else would you do it? Why else would you go out and exploit a horrible tragedy like this if you weren't doing it to somehow prop yourself up? Then if that's the case, then the only thing that you should be showing is utter and complete remorse. Forget about yourself. Forget about whatever. Just talk about how this, by doing this and by leaving a child without his mother and this poor woman who's gone and her husband's left, you know, talk only about that and say, listen, yeah, I've had a rough time, but it doesn't compare to what that family is going through.
Yeah, obviously somebody has come to him and told him, the lawyers have said, listen, you got to get on the offensive on this thing. So start to take part of the experience of it. We're going to say that you didn't pull the trigger. We're also going to say that you're suffering from some headaches, you haven't slept, and you're trying to take care of your kids, and you don't care about your career anymore.
Right. And he tweeted out after the interview, he tweeted out this mushy message to his wife about how she was the light of his life and how without her he couldn't go on and without the kids. Why do you have to tweet that? Why?
I don't understand why people put out public messages about unbelievably private things.
Right. And the wife has done that, too. She has tweeted out repeatedly about how difficult, how she becomes paralyzed when she has to speak to her children about this. Okay, see a therapist, talk to your friends. Do you need to tweet that so you can get 500 people to think that that's, or 5,000 people to think that that's, you know, something they need to feel sympathetic about? Mm. That's just gross.
Would you recommend that she get herself a hairless, hungry cat?
One more mouth to feed? Yeah, definitely. That might help.
By the way, Jacob, could you do me a favor? I know we're going to go, we're going to do traffic here. Can you try to find this woman who wrote this about me?
Right, so someone's made an accusation about something you supposedly did at some type of concert. And my presumption is that you were not even there, correct?
No. Okay. I was driving Sherry back to the luxurious Silver Cloud Hotel. Staying at Cairo Radio. And they always act like, yeah, we put them up at the Silver Cloud because it's so convenient. Yay! Oh, my God.
I got to hear about this accusation.
Oh, I sent it to you.
Oh, I didn't see it yet.
Oh, I was quite the horrible human being last night. Blatant disrespect and disregard for anyone else. I was embarrassed for you.
Really, Alec Baldwin?
Shocked
what did you
and
do?
Saddened by the display that I witnessed.
Okay. I'm reading it. Go ahead. Okay.
Disrespectful and trashy. Shannon. Jacob, try to find her, would you?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. She struggled most of the day with this, she said. I cannot wait to read this.
I thought the cat was hungry. All right, Tracy Tucker, look at traffic.
And what concert were you at? Allegedly at, I guess? I don't know.
What's that?
What concert did she say you were allegedly at?
Where was I, Sean?
Matthew Broussard?
Mark Broussard. Oh. I think Matthew might be his brother, Jacob.
I love what they wrote in the Bible.
This was last night?
All right, here we go. You write to us at MyNorthwest.com. We appreciate that. Right, Sherry? We also appreciate people write to us or text us as well. 1-888-973-5476. We also appreciate when people send us letters telling me about my obnoxious behavior from yesterday. By the way, Jacob, I just heard from this woman.
Okay.
And she says that, I said, can I get your phone number? Love to get you on the air. She says, no, thanks. I would prefer not to be on the air. I just wanted to share this with you. Sherry?
I'm here.
Did you get the letter that was written about me last night?
I did. And
will you please read for Shannon? Because she's very upset.
Would you like me to read the text?
Yes, I would.
Out loud?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because, George Stephanopoulos will not interview you later so you can defend yourself. So
I know it's okay, but careful. I will say that we will also add piano or sad violin music, much like George does. So here you go. Go ahead.
John,
mm-hmm.
I have struggled most of the day thinking about what to write in a message to you. I was at the Mark Broussard concert last night. I sat in the front row just two seats away from where you were sitting when you came in. I was a witness to some of the most obnoxious and rude behavior by your wife/girlfriend, I guess she's both, mm-hmm. taking selfies with no regard to people sitting around her, bright lights shining in their faces, her grinding in your lap when she got up to go get something.
Thank you, Bayside Medical.
Certainly glad I didn't have my teenagers there to witness that moment, and general disregard for anyone around you by getting up many, many times during the show, blatantly disregarding the request not to put drinks on the rail, and the list goes on. I was embarrassed for you, shocked and I don't have the rest of it.
Shocked and saddened by the display that I witnessed. Yes, a fun night out in the town, but rude, disrespectful, and trashy?
Shocking.
Not what I expected. Mary Chestnut. That's a reference to Ken Burns' Civil War.
So Mark Broussard did, it appears, perform at the Neptune Theater last night. But
I have music of Mark Broussard. Oh, I've never heard of him before, right. But I sent this to Sean.
Here come the selfies.
This is normally right. Where I put my drink on the table.
Yeah, on the rail.
Wow, your wife, girlfriend's going at it.
Girlfriend/wife. Get on it, girl.
I do wish she had continued the list.
Hold on, selfie time.
Wow, I am so glad teenagers aren't here to see that.
Well, but I put my drink on the rail.
Yeah. My wife, girlfriend, she is
boy.
Wow, no general disregard for anyone around you.
Yeah.
And the list goes on. Your Honor, may I approach the bench?
Yes.
Miss Sherry Lickerer, where were you last night at 6:35 p.m.?
I was in an SUV that looked a little
Your
bit
Honor,
like...
Your Honor, I can hear the music coming from the other courtroom. I don't know who's performing over there, but if we could just stop that for a second. Thank you.
Yes, I was actually... I was in an SUV with a dog. Mm-hmm. And a dog with ringworm and a banana peel that was stuck to the bottom of a floor mat.
Objection, Your Honor. Are these relevant to the... this material relevant to the case?
You're badgering the witness right now. I am telling you...
relevance to the whereabouts. Yes. The witness is identifying what she had seen at the time, Your Honor.
That's right. I was... First of all, it was difficult getting into the car because so many objects had to be moved from the front seat. And I was told not to worry about it, that it was fine that it had to be moved. Meanwhile, the ringworm dog decided that she would rather not sit in the front
Objection,
seat.
Objection, Your Honor. The dog has a name.
I my favorite thing so far is that John was doing things that certainly are worthy of complaining about. As is evidenced by Sherry's story, he's just not happening to be responsible for any of the accusations.
Right.
In this
I will attest to the fact there was no grinding anywhere in this 5 second trip to my hotel room.
Hotel room? Your Honor! Objection, Your Honor!
That came out completely wrong. Anyway.
The jury will disregard.
All right.
Objection sustained.
I got in the car. The dog had to be put in the back seat, and the dog didn't look too upset about that because
with a half rack of beer, I might add.
There was also a case of beer in the back, which was mentioned but wasn't elaborated on, and I didn't even care. And I will also attest to the fact that Mr. Curley was in the car for a little while because he missed my hotel. We went driving past it, and then I said, "Where are you going?"
And about what time was this?
This was post show, so it had to have been
around 6 or 7 p.m. I suppose.
I would say it was around 6:15, 6:20.
Right, but the show at the Neptune Theater appears to have started at 8 p.m. So, is it possible that the suspect here could have gone from your hotel to the Neptune Theater, which is about 15 minutes drive away?
I suppose he could have had that case of beer, drank a case of beer, and then took his / wife girlfriend Lily into the concert with him.
Yeah. Was the girlfriend a dog that may or may not have had ringworm?
It's possible that it was a case of mistaken identity. Yes, anything is possible, Your Honor. I can't say no.
I have just one question for you. Did I ever mention, after dropping you off at the Fleabag Hotel, that I need to drop you off because I have to go to the Mark Broussard concert?
No, you did not mention that. I have no idea of what happened afterward, but you did not make
mention. No further questions, Your Honor. No further questions.
We did not discuss our future.
Rusty the Bailiff has some papers you'd like for you to sign. Remember, don't take the law into your own hands. Take them to court.
None of what we've said has actually exonerated you of this accusation, John.
What the hell do you need to know from me? I don't even know how to pronounce a guy's last name. I don't know
You don't know how
music.
To pronounce anybody's last name. That's not really going to work.
No further objection, Your Honor. I had dyslexia.
All right.
I wasn't there. That doesn't sound like me.
That's not even your kind of music.
It isn't? What kind of music is it?
I mean, it's more... Well, you're not like a... I don't know. It's just... It's definitely not your kind of music.
Fine, thank you.
You're a Barry Manilow kind of guy. That's not a Barry Manilow kind of a thing.
You know, maybe she saw that picture on the website, and it was a case of mistaken identity.
I got it. I know what it is. I can see what happened here. I'm like Columbo. Like, you know one thing I get? So in Seattle, you have to wear your... Why, I sound like Fauci all of a sudden.
Yeah, you do.
You got to wear your mask, right? So the people have masks on, so maybe the guy had my piercing blue eyes.
It could be.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, Tracy Taylor House Traffic, because I can't wait to get to another concert. All right, here we go. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We hope you're enjoying your Friday. Heading into a big weekend, what concerts are in town? I can't wait to go to another one tonight. By the way, did we clear that up? What is the jury back in? Sean? Jacob?
I think the jury is out.
No, what did the jury say? I'm not guilty?
Yeah, you're not guilty, John. You've been appealed.
acquitted.
Acquitted.
Why don't you make him guilty? Then he'll have to appeal and we'll have to go through it again.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just a bad judge.
Stop it, Bob. You are. What are you doing there?
Everything in my life.
All right, let's get to the fact that, last night, LL Cool J, Billy Porter, and Kristen joined the Bidens for the National Tree Lighting Ceremony. I know Sherry used to have this job. What was your official job at the White House?
It was called the White House Announce Trainer. And that's the person that trains people like military personnel and other people that are not necessarily announcer types to introduce the president. So you work on diction and enunciation, and basically the whole thing is, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States. Or, ladies and gentlemen, the first lady of the United States. That type of thing.
People need to be trained to do that.
You'd be surprised.
You made it look really easy.
Your tax dollars at work. Yeah. So that was that's what it was. But it was for also for learning how to pronounce foreign names, because sometimes you had to do a lot of other dignitaries that come into town and things like that. I never did that. I was just there to help people learn how to do that if they were to be put in that position.
Okay, so last night, National Tree Lighting Ceremony, you're going to get a chance to, you can critique LL Cool J. Here he goes as he introduces the president.
Okay.
It is my tremendous honor to welcome our literal host, the actual host of this very American celebration, President Biden. And First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden.
We have to explain here that no one is walking out while this music is playing. The awkward silence goes on for some time longer.
Sometimes.
John, is that you in the front row with your wife, girlfriend?
Put
your drink on the table there?
Though they said don't put it up there.
Yeah. What's up with that?
It kept going. I think there was about a minute of nothing going on?
Two full minutes.
And then LL Cool J gets a chance to do it again.
All right, good vibes, good vibes. All right, so we want to do it again. Not the whole thing. You know, you're good. You all stood up, very patriotic, that's wonderful. Yes, you're respecting the office. You're supposed to. Sit down again, one more time.
Sit down again, please.
All right? You know? It'll be fine.
84 million people voted for this guy. LL Cool J.
Everything's going to go well. Okay. Applause. A lot of applause.
A lot of applause.
And now... it's my tremendous honor to welcome our real host, our literal host for this very American celebration, President Biden and First Lady Dr. Jill Biden.
Let's go, Braden!
Then he comes stumbling out with the doctor and then does his thing. Wow, that's embarrassing.
Do you know what he said to LL Cool J? He said this, and a special thanks to tonight's host, LL Cool J. I'll tell you what, man, he looks like he can still play. And I'm not talking about instruments. I'm talking about football or something. The man is, you know, anyway, I'll tell you what.
No way.
That's exactly what he said, yes. You know, anyway, I'll tell you what. Looks like he can play. Wow.
No. Oh, my God. Let's see. I'm 80 or I'm 79. I got a black guy in front of me. He either played basketball, music, football. Black guy, what else? Dancing.
I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you. No joke. This guy, I tell you, he can play.
Yeah. LL Cool J did a great job.
Did that? Yes. See, there you go.
He did a really good job, but somebody cued somebody incorrectly there. So that wasn't his fault. He did fine.
All right. Tracy,
tell you what, man.
I'm telling you, no joke. Hey, the hand of God. Tracy Taylor's going to look at Travancore.